I think I'm a little too dark here. I normally live in the dark, but not quite there. All right, show of hands. Busy lives? Anyone? Busy lives? Yeah, it's kind of the way we are. We had our retreat with the ninth graders last weekend, and normally we let the ninth graders stay up till midnight, but we had some of them going, can we just go to bed? Because some of them are getting, Tyler's nodding, they get up at 5, 5:30. Some of them are at school by 6:30. We live crazy lives. Our nephew, Jason, and his wife, Annette, just had their first baby, a little boy. And Karen's sister, Sandy, grandma, went to visit and reported that they have that typical new parent facial expression. Because their lives have suddenly gotten just a little bit busier. Now, we lead busy lives. I lead a busy life. On Friday, I'm part of the group going to visit someone who I think puts all of us to shame with the busy life she leads, because I'm part of the group, and Joan is, where's Joan? Joan's going, anyone else here from the mission trip? We're going to Nicaragua on Friday to spend a week working with Meg Bourne in the Circle of Empowerment. And if there's someone who really leads a busy life, it's Meg. Now, I don't know if you all know Meg's story, but back in 1999, Meg went to Nicaragua on a short-term mission trip, and she never came back permanently. Because she was so taken with what the people of Nicaragua meant to her that she came back, she sold her house, she took her inheritance, and she moved to Nicaragua. Now, you know Meg, she's not the most organized planner in the world, and I don't know how much of a plan she had when she went down there, but she lived in a tent on the beach for 10 months while she built her clinic. She went down there not speaking Spanish. And Meg committed herself to working with the people of northwestern Nicaragua. She built her clinic. She has worked to build schools. She has trained what she called her brigadistas, trained lay nursing students who go out and help the community. She has worked with the local government. She has helped get children educated beyond just their local community. She advocates for the rights of people. And on top of that, she has to do money raising to support all of this. And every once in a while, she comes back home for a couple of months because she's a grandma. And you've got to see your kids, your grandkids. And Meg's in her mid-60s, and she's sort of, kind of, maybe transitioning into a sort of a kind of a retirement. But she still is a busy, busy, busy woman. We all need to be in awe of this amazing Christian woman and the work she's doing down there. But Meg pales in comparison when you look at the busy life of Jesus. Because Jesus, I truly do think, was one of the busiest people who has ever lived. He crammed all of his ministry, according to the different gospels, between 1 and 3 years' time. He did all that we know about him. Our gospel text today is from Mark, the first chapter. And in Mark chapter 1, there is a word that is used over and over again. It is the Greek word "outhos," which in English is translated immediately or at once. From verse 10 to verse 30 in Mark's gospel, that word is used 9 times to show us how busy Jesus was. For example, Jesus suddenly appears out of the middle of nowhere. He comes to the Jordan River where he is baptized by John. And we're told that immediately when he comes up out of the Jordan River, the Spirit comes upon him. And then immediately he is driven into the wilderness. For 40 days he is tempted by the devil. And then immediately from the wilderness, he goes back to Galilee, and there he begins his ministry. As he comes out of nowhere proclaiming, "The kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the good news." And the next thing you know, he is walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, pointing out to those fishermen, "I want you, I want you, I want you, come and follow me, and I will teach you to catch people." The next thing we hear, he's in the synagogue in Capernaum where those fishermen live. And he stands up and he begins to preach in the synagogues. And in the middle of his sermon, pastors don't normally like interruptions in the middle of our sermons. So when the cell phone goes off or someone has to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the sermon or something like that, pastors aren't overly thrilled. But Jesus, in the middle of his sermon, has a man who's possessed by demons stand up and begin to scream at him. "We know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus, in a very calm, pastoral fashion, says, "Shut up." And he drives the demon out. And then he immediately leaves the synagogue, and he goes to Simon Peter's house. And he hopes, I would imagine, to have dinner and a little quiet time, but you know what's going on? Simon's mother is seriously ill with a fever. So immediately Jesus has to heal her. And I love this next line, because it says, after she was healed, what did she do? She served everyone dinner. Now, had it been the father-in-law, he would have been on the couch for a couple more days going, I just don't know if I can do it yet. But this is the mother-in-law, so she does all of that. And then the word of Jesus is spreading all over, and we are told that the house where he is, probably Simon's house, is surrounded by people who are bringing their sick to be healed, who are bringing people possessed by evil spirits to have them cured. Jesus spends his time preaching and teaching. He is surrounded constantly. And then we come to the next verse. And it says, in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and he went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. In the midst of all the craziness, in the midst of everything going on, Jesus took time early in the morning, all by himself, to get up, to go out of town. There's hillsides all around Capernaum. And there he found a place. And what did he do? He prayed. He took time to be with his heavenly Father in prayer. This quiet prayer respite was very shortly lived, because we're told, and Simon and his companions hunted for him. Okay? Parents, do you remember the, if you've got older kids, if you've got younger kids, you probably know it, walking around the house with someone in tow, Mom, Mom, Dad, Dad, they're always, you can't get away from them. Okay, they're always after you. That's what happens to Jesus. His disciples hunt him down, saying, Jesus, everyone is searching for you. And Jesus says, well, then let's get up and let's go. And let's go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the good news there, because that's what I came to do. And the last line of our gospel, and he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus was as busy can be. But in the midst of all of his busyness, preaching God's word, helping those in need, educating and training those new disciples, in the midst of all of that, Jesus constantly took time to go off by himself and pray. Because Jesus, above everyone, knew the importance of prayer. He needed that time alone with his heavenly Father. He needed that time to just be there with God, one-on-one in prayer. And very seldom are we told exactly what Jesus did pray. But repeatedly, and we'll look at this in the adult forum today, repeatedly, especially at important times in his life and ministry, before those times began, Jesus took the time to go off and be alone with God in prayer. Because we need that too. In our busy, crazy, hectic lives where it seems like we scarcely have a minute alone to ourselves, we need to make sure we take that time to pray and to be with God. To come to God with our needs, to come to God just to talk to God, to come to God sometimes just to listen. It is an important habit, and prayer is a habit. It is a habit that all Christians need to develop. We are not naturally inclined to pray. We are naturally inclined to mostly think about ourselves and all the busy stuff. If you ever have laid awake in bed at night with this laundry list of everything ticking through your mind, you know what it's like. In fact, in Luke's gospel, there's a story where Jesus' disciples, they actually come to him and say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because prayer is not necessarily a natural thing. And Jesus taught people how to pray a lot. The Lord's Prayer, which we say every Sunday. Jesus taught his disciples that prayer as a good, solid example of what prayer needs to be. My favorite prayer that Jesus utters, and the most important prayer to me personally, is the prayer Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane the night he is arrested. When he knows what is to happen, he knows that Judas has sold him out. He knows that these disciples, who just minutes before have sworn up and down they would die for him, he knows they're going to run off and leave him alone. He knows that he is about to be arrested and the next day he will die. And in the midst of all of that, he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us the story, how he prays these words, Heavenly Father, if it is possible for this cup of suffering to be taken away, please do it. Lord, if there's any way you can work this out without me having to die, please do it. But then he prays, but not my will, but yours be done. Because Jesus teaches us that prayer is just not, Lord, give me this, Lord, give me that, Lord, help the Eagles win today and cover the point spread. That is not what prayer is. Prayer, to its ultimate extent, is asking God, Lord, you are the God of all things, who gives us all things, even without our asking, as Martin Luther teaches us. Lord, help me to do your will. It is important that we as Christians take that time in prayer. Martin Luther, it's a famous quote of Luther, who once said, I have so much to do today, I have to spend 3 hours in prayer at the beginning of it. He prepared himself for a busy day by taking time, extra time, in prayer. We all need to learn to pray. Our eighth graders are studying the Lord's Prayer right now with me in confirmation. And as we study the Lord's Prayer, not only are we studying the Lord's Prayer, but I'm working with the students to get them to pray. And so each week during our Lord's Prayer class, the students have a prayer assignment. They get a prayer, short little prayer, based upon the petitions of the Lord's Prayer that we have studied that week. And I give this to them. I email mom and dad a copy as well. And I say, I'd like you to pray this prayer once a day at least for the next week. So this last week was our first week, and we did a little check-in in class. And I said, so how'd you do this week with your prayer? Now, one student, she said the prayer every day, and I said, how did you remember to say the prayer every day? And she said, I took the prayer, and I put it on my bedstand next to my bed. And when I went to bed every night, I picked it up. One of the boys said, my family, we said this at our evening prayer. We did it 6 days, and the seventh day, we just weren't together to eat because we're so busy. Okay? A couple of students did it three times, two times. A couple of students only did it once, and I asked, well, why? And it was, so we talked about how can you do it better? And so we talked about how we can develop the art of making prayer a habit. And one of the girls who only said the prayer one time, she said, you know what? I have just programmed into my phone a reminder every day to say the prayer. Because prayer is a habit which we all need to develop. And I know you folks, we all pray at different times. Nighttime is my time for prayer in bed. We have one couple every morning, they get up, they say their devotions, and they spend time in prayer. We have one woman in the church who says, when people see me driving, they probably think I'm crazy because, or I'm on Bluetooth, because she says, that's my time to pray out loud to God. Wherever you take that time, like Jesus, to get away, to be quiet, it is important. It is important for us to take the time to be with God. Because remember what prayer is. Prayer is an invitation from the God who has made everything that exists to spend a little time with him. Dr. James Nestegen, one of our former professors at our seminary in Minneapolis and St. Paul, used to say, if you're going to have a God, don't you want to spend a little time with him, getting to know him and getting to know what he's promised to you? So again, let us all follow the example of Jesus, who in the midst of his busy, crazy, overly scheduled life, always took time to pray. May we, in the midst of our crazy lives, set aside that time, develop that habit of being with God quietly, shutting off everything else for a little bit, to simply say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done, to take time to be with him in his word, to give him praise for all he's done, to ask for those things that are important in our lives, to pray for those who are near and dear to us, and above all, to pray, Lord, help me to learn to do your will. May we be like Jesus, going off in prayer to be with our Lord, knowing life's going to interrupt us, and we have to move on, but taking that time to refresh ourselves and draw closer to the one who has promised everything to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.